4DJC.
4ZLK Mobile.
Dean, hope you're doing well today.
R2. Got two more little stops I need to make. One of them is a trailer swap out, and then I'll take that one over and they'll live load on the back part of it. And then I'm going to go back to the building and hopefully be done.
Short traffic here was terrible. We headed over that way about 1 o'clock today. It was awful. Heading in down up 85 towards. It started stopping up around this other side of Malden Road. It was terrible.
That almost every day. Fortunately, the only time I go on the interstate is we'll be here about 6:15 or so, and it's only from Whitehorse to Malden Road. I just make that little run up there. The rest of the day, I'm on major roads, but stay off the interstate.
Kind of one of the hubs, or?
Right there at Malden, between Malden and Lawrence Road. That's where our terminal is.
In the Millennium.
Yeah, that is correct. We're off of Fair Forest Way.
And that's why we head over to our daughter's place and took her grandkids up. We didn't head that way just today, but that's why we usually go there. They live over there just around Forrester, one of the Forresters. I can't remember which subdivision is over there.
Forrester in Malden, right down Lawrence Road there. Just past, a couple lights past that Millennium and Fair Forest intersection.
It's somewhere down in there anyway. I don't know. I can see three or four of them right there. It's actually in Greenville. It's not inside city limits of Malden. It's just outside. But I thought that's probably where you go. We try to avoid some of that. It's so hard getting on Lawrence Road. We just try to avoid that whenever possible.
Lawrence Road side of it. I go back out on Malden Road side. And yeah, you're right. It is Greenville right there. I'm going to make a turn here. I'll let you have it. I'll be back in a second.
Drop stuff off there sometimes. Not always. I can usually drop it off here at one of the stores here. The hub here is west. It's not really a hub. It's several miles from the house. But I got a store here. I can drop it off at or just get them to pick it up. Our neighbor got runs. He about runs every day through here, and I can usually catch him. But I've dropped stuff off that before a time or two.
If you can catch the driver or take it to a UPS store, and they actually have a lot of other drop-off points now. Other stores are handling that too, but our little place is so crowded. It's not a very big place, and there's so much traffic going in and out, it's almost better not to even go there.
A while since I've dropped anything off there because it is so busy, and when we all start running in about 7 o'clock, that's about the time we leave. I just try to get out of everybody's way, love, get in there and get home. But I got a UPS store about a mile and a half from the house, and I'll grab it if I don't catch the driver. But I got that. I use it there where I can direct. I can't remember, it's about $20 a year where I can direct it. If I'm gone, I don't like having it dropped off here, so I'll have it dropped off at usually UPS store is probably about the easiest place, because, like I said, the center's over there about 7 or 8 miles from me. The traffic is not great over there. It's just a tiny place, too. It's mostly where they load and unload, but the office is so small, I just... A UPS store now, and it's a little easier for me to get it out of there. And since I've got an account, it's real easy for me to ship or do whatever I need to do that way.
Yeah, and UPS is not, their customer counters are not very customer friendly. And they're only open, you know, regular business hours. They do open a little bit later in the evening, about 15 minutes, you've got something that you need signed for, and you call in and you want to pick it up that night when the driver gets back. But it's almost like they don't want people to come over and do business at their customer counter.
That way here for the last 2 or 3 years, but now when I've been using them for years anyway, It was a deal that we had, you know, that was whole stuff for me there at the center there, and I'd just go over there and, you know, I'd tell them, let them know I'm coming in and have it out ready for me to sign, or I could pre-sign, but it's so easy now for me to just have it dropped off at the UPS store. I just do that. It's a lot easier getting in that. The one over here, I mean, the UPS center will be closed. I think it closes at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, so you better hustle if you're going to get over there. And, you know, if I'm headed back into town or something, I'm usually too late to get over and catch that one. Like I said, it's about as easy to go to the store. Or, like I said, if I can catch the driver, Quip, you know, the regular driver here, he's been here, been doing it for about 8 or 10 years, I guess. So I know him pretty well.
They have my number. They were more than welcome. As long as they're willing to meet me somewhere, I was perfectly happy with that because it saved me a trip and saved me having to deal with it later.
Me to print out labels and stuff, get it, you know, go ahead and prepay it and be done with it. So it's ready to go. And I use envelopes and other stuff too, but I mostly do packages, but it's a little bit easier. And I tell you what, you know, it's been high value items, post office again, where they're just not very reliable at all. And I'm not a big, I've done FedEx a time or two, but yeah, I've always had a good look at UPS. Every once in a while, yeah, I've had one lost, but not very often. And the tracking is pretty close to real time. The FedEx place down here below me is about a mile below me, but it's another one of those deals where it's just, you know, you got to ring a bell to get anybody to come to the front up there to do it. But it's convenient sometimes, but I generally don't ship FedEx just for the primary reason, just because you know, it's so damn expensive. If I want to do next day, some of the stuff I do, I ship out next day, and this high value item, I can usually do UPS, and I do my own insurance too. And I've got another policy I use for that, so I don't have to, you know, I've got stuff that, you know, that covers that kind of, you know, loss and that sort of thing, as long as it's signature type stuff and that sort of thing.
What you did, or if it's something you could mention, obviously it's not illegal. I just wondered what kind of stuff you do.
It's just hobbyist stuff. I do buy and sell custom knives and that sort of thing. So I hadn't done much lately because I'm kind of dwindling down. But some of the stuff's pretty high value, so I don't. You know, I generally try to. You know, like I said, post office used to be really good about it, but I hadn't had anything lost, but. You know, sometimes that stuff will lollygag around for a day or two now. A priority is usually maybe 5 days somewhere. Sometimes it takes a week or more. Even that's happened to me. And people talk, we start talking about, you know, stuff, you know, several thousand dollars worth of stuff. You know, they get kind of antsy when it goes missing for a day or two, further than it should be.
Yeah, and the post office has gotten more. It'll get there when it gets there. UPS is actually, I've seen them do some things now, like around Christmas time, that they never used to do. They just hold us packages a day longer than they used to be all about service, getting in there as soon as possible, on time, doing everything they could. But, you know, there is a huge amount more volume now with all this. This last 2 years, a lot more people are shopping online instead of going to stores, and then you have the issue of can't find good help anymore, so I'm sure that's a lot to do with it. Let me jump out here and swap this trailer out. I'll be back in a couple minutes. N4ZLK.
N4ZLK, N4TJC.
N4ZLK Mobile.
N4TJC.
Telling me you do custom knives and stuff. I have a friend in Illinois who's got a eBay type store he got into years ago, and a lot of his stuff is, you know, surplus military, a lot of movie stuff. He's a huge B movie buff. He knows everything. It seems every movie that never made it, he knows about it, it seems like. And he had a lot of posters from the 20s and 30s as movie cards or movie posters. He's got a lot of that kind of stuff, a lot of knives. He ended up getting his FFL, became a, you know, does that on the side too. He just kind of got his hands into everything like that.
But there's a lot of interest in it. There's all of a sudden a lot of the, younger guys are getting more interested in some of the traditional stuff. And the makers I've dealt with in the past, I've been involved in it probably 20 years, I guess, the last 15. Not in a big way, just in a small. I'd get something because I usually get mine direct. So, I avoided those secondary market pricing. And a lot of guys don't take orders anymore. Some of them have 10-year waiting lists and that sort of thing. But I got involved with long enough ago where they gave me, they let me have them. And I might keep it for a while, not use it and then sell it later. Some of them I keep. I don't have a large collection, but I'd just one of those things where I'd buy it, keep it for a while, and move on to something else. But, there's so many guys that are much, a lot of people just got a lot of interest in the last probably 8 or 10 years, and other guys just quit taking orders. They said, I can't deliver what I got on my books now. So, and a couple of them have passed away, so their knives, their traditional multi-blade knives went from a couple thousand to, $8,000 or $9,000, $10,000 just in a matter of, a few months.
And I'm going to make a turn here. I'll be back in just 1 second. Right, it's a tight curve or a tight corner, and people drive up and they don't always leave your room. Anyway, this guy, he doesn't do, occasionally he'll come across something that's, really valuable. It's not anything like you're talking about, but he gets some interesting things, and it's almost fun just to look at his website every once in a while just to see the, it's amazing the stuff that sells too, things you think would never sell. That seems to be the hot item.
The detective movies, I like watching those on TCM, and I tell you, some of that memorabilia from those movies, you didn't get the posters especially, because they weren't big time movies. The posters get destroyed, and not that many of them left, and that's become really a high ticket item the last 4 or 5 years, I guess, and that sort of thing has just gone up in value. I think it's just like everything else, though, Shane. It's just there's not much supply there, and people are doing what a lot of people say. Well, what I'm waiting for, I'm going to get it down. it's not going to go, it may not go down in value, but those types of things. So some of those things don't have much intrinsic value, as much as a collector value, but if there's only one round, you can, whatever the market bears.
Fine, and occasionally he'll send me a screenshot of somebody's name who purchased something off, and it'll be somebody that's well known on TV or something. He'll sell some of those movie posters too. A lot of them are, the only picture that was taken of that actor or actress for that particular release of a movie, to be put in a movie theater. So there's not that many of them. And the very first time I met him, his wife actually met my wife through their mutual work. They lived in Illinois. They worked for the same company, and they talked a lot online. So we ended up becoming friends. The very first time I met him, he said, I want to go to Spartanburg, because outside of Spartanburg, there's an old movie studio. There's a museum now. The guy runs it himself. He went to Hollywood back in the 70s and decided he could do everything himself, so he made a bunch of movies here in outside of Spartanburg somewhere. And one of his props or big storage tanks, it was a big water storage tank they used in a major movie. It was an underwater scene. Can't remember it, but I'd never even heard of it. I grew up here, and here he was coming from Illinois and knew all about it.
Types of things like that just under our noses we don't know about, or just because it's not in our sphere of interest, I guess, at the time. But those things are it's just so unusual. It's kind of like this. It's like the actual props used. Sometimes these things, it's like, I compare it to like the custom knife business, type thing. These guys have long waiting lists, and they run lotteries, and people drive prices up. I saw one, the guy made one knife. He's a pretty famous maker now, but when he got started out, he was just a hobbyist, basically, sort of making. And then he had a lottery, and some of these people bid from all over the world, and all of a sudden, what went out? These knives are not, you know, normally they would be a couple of grand, maybe. I mean, that's what they'd get from them because they are handmade. But, you know, all of a sudden, you know, that thing started going up. It went up over $20,000. I don't know who eventually bought it, but, you know, they paid for it. You know, it wasn't a big deal to them. You know, some of these guys have so much money. It's like, you know, I spend, you know, $50. It's nothing to them. So they drive the prices up. And there's one guy that's been making, his name is Michael Walker. He's the one that basically invented the liner lock. You know, the one where you lock the locking blade knife. Back in the, he didn't invent it, I guess he perfected it, but one of his older knives sold for over $170,000. There wasn't nothing special about it either.
Paying for the artist, I guess, kind of like some paintings. I've seen some paintings and I've wondered what in the world, why is that worth so much, but it's more the artist than anything, so. Well, that's good, and yeah, I mean, that's supply and demand, that's the free market. Somebody's got the money and they want to pay for it, that's how it works, and I'm happy to support that system. More power to them. If I was able, I'd like to be a part of it, you know, making something like that.
Yeah, I mean, it was fun for a while, and I got a little tired of it because it wasn't, you know, it's one of those things that's fun for a while. It's not as much fun. I enjoyed it. Then I'd pick up one from a maker that was a friend of mine, and then I'd say, well, you know, if I can sell it for this is how much it's going to cost me to replace it. Should I ever replace it? I kept a few of them, but not many of them. But, these things, they go with start with these top tier guys, and then it starts trickling down to lower tier and lower tier, and all of a sudden, all these guys that are making them, you know, they're making them by hand, or they'll develop a, you know, almost a cult following, and all of a sudden they're hot. It's kind of like an artist, I guess. You know, not exactly the same situation, but you know, they get hot, and then you could buy their stuff for love and money. Well, you could buy it for a lot of money, but not anything reasonable. You know, and the thing is, there wasn't anything particularly special about it. These guys had not been in the business very long, weren't well known, that sort of thing. But it just trickles down to, and then they want, magazine articles or the pictures or the photos or something, or the signatures of the guys. And, you know, it just trickles down all the way down. When somebody's hot, they're hot, and when they're not, you know, you. But as I've always thought, you know, the intrinsic value is what's always been important to me. I'm not much of a poster guy or anything like that because I think, you know, those things, that's almost like dealing with a commodity. It depends on, you know, the value depends on the buyer.
And also, you know, something starts getting popular, so a whole bunch of people jump on the bandwagon and start saying, well, I'm doing it. You know, they start making TV shows. Everybody starts making them, and pretty soon there's just, you got a glutton of things out there that aren't worth anything, or they might be good knives, and it's not. You got a lot to sift through. So, anyway, Jerry, I'm here at my next place, my last pickup here. I got to back up. I'll be in here for a few minutes while they load them. So, and then I'll be done here soon. It doesn't take me long to get back to Billy. I'm going to let you go. Enjoyed it. Hope you have a great weekend. If I don't talk to you again, N4ZLK73.
Hey, Shane, good talking with you today. Enjoyed it. Hope you have a great weekend. N4ZLK, N4DJC, clear.